Okay, we're going to be opening our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading a very familiar passage to us on the story or the true life account of Mary and Martha and the visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to their house. And the emphasis tonight will be on our quiet times with the Lord. So we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 38 to 42 there. The Bible says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village," that's speaking of Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask for your blessing to be upon the reading of your word. Be with your servant now. Give him a fresh filling of thy spirit. And we pray that you would have your will and way in our lives this evening. We seek a blessing from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it's no secret that we live in a very fast-paced society. And the greater technology gets, the faster and faster it's going to get for us. Now, the apparent purpose of technology is to make our life quicker and easier, quicker communication, all these different things. But I believe it's actually had an opposite effect, where it's actually made us people who are even more busy. We can get more done, yes, in a lesser amount of time. However, if that technology were to fail, we get all messed up from it. And we get all tangled and we don't know how to cope with it. Back in the day, I think of illustrations of the past where people didn't have to really worry about such technology. And first person that came to my mind was actually Robert Sheffy. And even though it's a Christian movie that we so love and think is a wonderful account of that man's life, but Sheffy was a real person who travelled around America as an itinerant circuit rider preacher. And he was a man who was very busy. However, he always had the time to pray to the Lord. And that's probably why, well, that's actually definitely why his ministry was so successful, because he was a man of prayer. He was not too busy to get on his knees and pray for his people. Andrew Murray is another example of a person who was devoted to the Lord. And he was a very busy man, but he had time to write devotions, books by the hundreds. And he was definitely a man of prayer. And as Pastor Weston has pointed out before, you'd think that when you read his material, you think, well, did this man ever have any time for his church? And then you realise that he was actually a man who had thousands and thousands of people that come across his way. And he had time for them as well, time for the people. But he never neglected his devotions and prayer. And Matthew Henry is another person. Although I wouldn't recommend his commentary in its fullest, he wrote a commentary about, say, yay big. And I've heard that the reason why he apparently started that commentary was because he wanted to write a devotion for his family. A big, massive commentary this big. And these men were very busy men, but they always had time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and learn from his word and seek the Lord in prayer. Now, Satan has done his best to keep Christians as busy as possible. When back in the day, Sunday used to be a day where people would be dedicated to worshipping the Lord, even in Australia, it has now become a day when Australia goes to work, or when Australia plays sport, or when Australia sits back and watches television instead of coming to hear the word of God at church. Now, too many Christians, although they may not do those things, have entangled themselves with the cares of this life, with their businesses. And even family can do this to you in some ways when you don't get your priorities right. And Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. no man and that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I was just thinking about an entanglement when I had to get my headphones ready to try and record this easier. I had headphones that were all, you know, tangled up, and I had to spend time untangling them. And sometimes that's how we feel in life when we have so much to do, so busy. But unfortunately, when we're that busy, one of the first things to be neglected is our private worship and time with the Lord. You know, God expects us to worship him. He desires for us to worship him. He blesses those who worship him. And God is also very much worthy of our worship. Now, the context of this passage in chapter 10 is that the Lord had just sent out 70 disciples, and there is an amazing work going on after the Lord had sent them out. And you can see there is a busyness. And we come to this chapter where the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, comes to the house of Mary and Martha, and he was received into their home. But as you go into chapter 11, we also see that there's a heavy focus on prayer. So God wants to tell us something, really, I believe, that when he sends out the 70 disciples, he wants us to take notice of this account with Mary and Martha, but also in chapter 11 we see prayer. Now, in our church we've been focusing heavily already on the matter of prayer. So tonight's emphasis will be on our quiet times with the Lord, and I've titled this message, The Importance of Sitting at His Feet. It's an important thing. And the first thing I want us to see in this passage tonight is the arrival of the Master. The arrival of the Master, and we begin firstly, I want you to notice the region of his arrival. Look in verse 38, it says there, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." Now we gather from other scriptures that this village was a place called Bethany, which was not too far from the Mount of Olives near Jerusalem. And this was the home of Martha, Mary and Lazarus. Now this was a place that the Lord had often visited in his ministry, and at this home the Lord Jesus' friends lived. There were friends of Jesus that lived here, and the Lord loved these people. And we know in John 11 verse 5 it says this, "Now Jesus loved," and the word there is agape, "he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So Jesus Christ loved these people in this town, and he went to visit them. And it's actually in the account that I just read in John chapter 11 where we find one of the smallest verses in all of the Bible where we see the words, "Jesus wept." Now it's the smallest in the English Bible, but it's not the smallest in the Greek Bible. But it is a very important in Scripture, because Jesus Christ in John chapter 11 came into this town also because he had heard that his friend Lazarus was sick and he was dying. And Jesus Christ delayed his coming that God may be glorified when he were to raise Lazarus from the grave. But we see that Mary and Martha were in such tremendous, I suppose, trial there when they saw that their brother had died. And Jesus looked upon Martha, and he saw the Jewish people that were weeping there, and Jesus also wept. He obviously loved these people. And I believe that we need to be thankful that we have a wonderful Saviour, a wonderful friend we have in Jesus who actually loves us also. And that was the region of his arrival. But look at the receiving upon his arrival. "And a certain woman," verse 38, "named Martha received him into her house." Now that's a wonderful decision, Martha, that you received Jesus Christ into your home. For even sadly in Christian homes today, the Lord Jesus Christ is not welcome. He exposes their sin and he exposes their error, and people don't want Jesus into their home. But Martha was more than happy to have Martha in her home. Was more than happy to have Jesus in her home, sorry. Now, in the church age, Christ has taken up his permanent residence in our hearts. This is more than just a visitation where Jesus Christ has come by and visited us, but he's actually made his home in our hearts, and we need to make sure that he is happy to dwell in our hearts. For it was Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 He said he prayed that the Lord Jesus Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. And the word dwell there means to settle down at home. So you could ask, although Jesus Christ has made his home in your heart, is he at home in your heart? Is he happy to dwell there? Is he happy to be in your heart? So we see the arrival of the Master. Secondly, we see the attentiveness of Mary. Look at verse 39, and it says there, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." The attentiveness of Mary is a very heavy focus in this passage. And I want you to notice, firstly, Mary's place of rest. She was sitting at the Saviour's feet. Now, historically speaking, to sit at someone's feet was an indication that you were a disciple of that person. And it seems here that Mary was indicating to us in the Word of God here and to all those that were there that she was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul shows this example in Acts 22, verse 3, when he said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day." So he is showing that he was once a disciple of this man called Gamaliel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But a disciple was somebody who sat at the feet of their teacher. And that's where Mary found her place of rest. Now, there's three other times when Mary is mentioned in the Gospels. And on each occasion, she is seen at the same place. She is seen at the feet of Jesus Christ. Firstly, she is seen here listening to his word. And the second time is John 11:32, where she is falling at his feet, sharing the woe that she has about her brother passing away. And the third time we see her in John chapter 12, verse 3, she comes to his feet and pours out her ointment as an act of worship. For you see, Mary knew the best place was to be at the Saviour's feet. It was a place of rest for her. But I want you to notice, secondly, Mary's place of readiness. It says there in verse 39, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now that word "heard" in the Greek is in the imperfect active, which means this. She took her feet, she took her seat by the feet of Jesus and went on listening to the words that he was speaking. She sat there and continually listened to the words that Jesus was speaking. And by the way, this is a mark of a true disciple, somebody who is a Bible student, who is constantly seeking to hear from God in his word and coming before him and sitting at his feet, and also with readiness to obey. He is one that continually seeks the word of God for further instruction on how to live the Christian life. Now, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3 says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A further instruction in 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we see this mandate to study the word of God. Every one of us have to study the word of God. Now, Timothy was told by Paul to study, but we also need to be people who are studying God's word. And our motive is that we would be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And the method in which we do that is rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't rightly divide the word of truth, we'll end up in all sorts of funny doctrines and we won't have peace of our hearts because we got the word of God wrong. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," so it's God-breathed, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If that's what the Word of God can do to our life, then we ought to be in it more and more and more, sitting at the Saviour's feet, reading his word, praying for understanding, and that we would have a closer walk with him. And so the challenge is today there, are you in the word of God daily? So we see the attentiveness of Mary, and thirdly we see now the activity of Martha. And I want you to firstly notice Martha's mistaken priorities. In verse 40 it says there, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word, or those words there, cumbered about with much serving, in the Greek is really saying she was driven about from point to point. And the ladies would know this more, that when they're preparing food for people coming over, or they're preparing beds for people to come over, they're going to the kitchen, they're going to the bedroom, they're going to the laundry, and they're doing all sorts of things, and they're cumbered about with much serving. Now, all those things are wonderful, commendable, and they are a wonderful thing that the Lord is very well pleased with. We need Marthas in our church. We need Marthas in our life. The problem here with Martha is that she had mistaken priorities, because she was more concerned with working for the Lord rather than worshipping the Lord. And we as Christians need to first learn to sit at the Saviour's feet before we can serve in the Saviour's field. Charles Erdman said this, "While the Master does appreciate all that we undertake for him, he knows that our first need is to sit at his feet and learn his will. Then in our task we shall be calm and peaceful and kindly." And so how often are we distracted with sitting at the Saviour's feet because we think that we have something better or more important to do? We're often distracted in that area. And how often do we think that we are going to accomplish much but forget that there is the most important part of our service is to worship? Now, I know with my own life, sometimes I feel that even prayer and reading, that if I just quickly get it out of the road, I can go forward and I can go on the street and preach. But this text is teaching something different. It's saying that God wants us to be first sitting at his feet, learning his word. That's our first priority before we go out into the field and serve him. And we see here that Martha had her mistaken priorities. God wants us to be people that come to him, learn his will, trust in him, and then we can accomplish a lot more for the service of the Lord. Ian Paisley once said that the average church is like a canary in a cage. There is a lot of activity, but little progress. Little birdie flying around in the cage, a lot of activity going on. But the problem is the bird's not going anywhere. He's staying within the cage. And we don't want to be Christians that are stuck in a cage, but to go out and accomplish much for the Lord. So we notice Martha's mistaken priorities. Notice, secondly, Martha's major problems. Martha had major problems. Where did she have problems? Well, firstly, she rebuked the Lord. She said there in verse 40 again that she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Martha, what is going on here? You are rebuking the Lord. You're actually challenging him and basically charging him with foolishness that you have allowed and permitted Mary to sit at his feet. She rebuked the Lord. This is a woman who really is serving the Lord in the flesh. And just by way of application, when we begin to serve God in our own strength, failing to get our priorities right, it will produce a life of problems to the point that we may even charge God with wrongdoing. She had a rebuke for the Lord. She had a request of the Lord. She said to the Lord there, at the end of verse 40, "Bid her therefore that she help me." Now, I don't think that Martha came to Jesus Christ and said to the Lord, "Lord, if it be according to thy will, please put it on Mary's heart that she come and help me." I don't think she went to the Lord and said that. But she instead went to him with a disgusting attitude, demanding that the Saviour would listen to her and tell her sister to get off the ground and come and help her with serving. She rebuked the Lord, and she had a request of the Lord that was definitely not pleasing to the Lord. So we have seen the arrival of the Master. We have seen the attentiveness of Mary. We have seen the activity of Martha. And we are going to finish with our last point tonight, the answer of the Master. What does the Lord have to say about this whole account? Well, I want you to notice firstly his guidance to Martha. In verse 41, the Lord Jesus said this, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." I noticed here again that just like Gideon this morning, when Gideon was in his doubt and his struggle and his trials, he was questioning really the Lord. And the Lord dealt with him in such a merciful and gracious way. And we see again the Lord coming to this woman, Martha, and dealing with her in such, again, a gracious, merciful and loving way. He says to her, "Martha, you are too anxious. Thou art careful." She was an anxious person. He says to her, "Martha, you are too agitated. You are troubled about many things." She was a woman who was doing a lot for the Lord in the sense of service, but she was a woman who was troubled in her heart because she was doing it in her own strength and in her own power. And so the idea is here that she was inwardly troubled, and it showed through her outward countenance. Luke 6:45 helps us to understand this. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Now, I'm not calling Martha an evil person. Certainly, rebuking the Lord is an evil action and an evil thing to do. But we can see here that there's a problem within her heart. She's a troubled woman in her heart. She's serving the Lord, but she has neglected to sit at his feet first, and it's showing in her actions. So we see his guidance to Martha. Secondly, we see his guarantee to Mary. Look at verse 42. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." That's a guarantee from the Lord there. He says, one thing is needful. This is the key to the whole passage that is before us here. "For Martha was occupied with many things, but Mary was occupied with one thing." She saw the importance of sitting first at the Saviour's feet. She had chosen the good part, the Lord said, which means basically that it's not saying that Martha was doing something wrong. So not the good part in contrast to that which is evil versus what is good. Because what Martha was actually doing was a good thing. It was a good service. But Jesus is saying that Mary hath chosen the good part. The choosing of the good part refers to Mary's choice to first again sit at the Saviour's feet. And God's promise to her is, well, Jesus said, it shall not be taken away from her. God took delight that she wanted to sit at his feet. And he was not going to rob her of this wonderful joy. Martha was trying to do it, trying to rob her of that wonderful joy and even accusing her of doing the wrong thing. But she was doing the right thing. And Jesus said, no, 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 you're not going to take this from her. I'm not taking this wonderful joy away from her. And by the way, I believe it was a joy to the Lord to have her sit at his feet. Harry Ironside shared a story on this text. He said, "I remember hearing of a dear father who had lost his wife. She had left him one daughter, and he loved to have her with him. But being a busy man, they could have only their evenings together. He would come home from work, and after dinner, they would spend several hours together, and one or the other would read. Then she would play and sing for him. He found his greatest solace in the company of his darling child. It was getting along towards the end of the year, and the daughter said to him one evening, 'You will excuse me tonight, Father. I have something I should do in my room.' The next night it was the same thing, and the next, much to the father's disappointment. But he had to get used to it, and he did not like to ask her what she was doing or why she had to leave him alone. Finally, She came into his room and said to her dad, basically, here's a present for you. And she handed him a pair of crocheted slippers which she had made for him. He said after he had thanked her, I would much rather have had you with me all those lonely evenings than to have these slippers as beautiful and comfortable as they are. And Harry Ironside goes on to say, I think our Lord says the same to us. We are trying to please him by much serving, but I am afraid he will say to many of us, you have spent so many hours in service when I would rather have you at my feet. You were not there when I wanted to share my many secrets with you. And he says here, Harry Ironside, may we learn more and more the blessedness of communion with him. We too need to choose the good part like Mary. We must be like Mary and learn to first sit at the Saviour's feet and worship him. We must learn to worship the Lord before we work for the Lord. And I've given us three examples here that would help us to do that. Firstly, we must be people who are focused on the Saviour. As we read the life of Jesus Christ and we sit in his word and read it, we need to be people who are focused on the Saviour. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we focus on the Saviour, the Spirit of God makes us more and more like Jesus Christ, who is the glory of the Lord. So we must be focused on the Saviour. We must be people who are feeding on the Scriptures. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to be feeding on the Scriptures day and night and anywhere in between. And we must be people who are filled with the Spirit. Without the filling of the Spirit, we are going to limit the effectiveness of the Word of God in our life, for the Spirit of God is the one who applies the Word to our heart and causes us to be like Christ. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, in conclusion, J.C. Ryle says there was a deep meaning in these words. They were spoken not only for Mary's sake, but for the sake of all Christ-believing people in every part of the world. They were meant to encourage all true Christians to be single-eyed and wholehearted, to follow the Lord fully, and to walk closely with God, to make soul business immeasurably their first business, and to think comparatively little of the things of this world. And I conclude with this. Martha welcomed him into her home. Mary welcomed him into her heart. Martha served with major problems. Mary sat with much peace. Martha was restless, but Mary was at rest. Martha was coming apart. Mary chose the good part. Martha was cumbered with serving. Mary was content with the Saviour. Martha was demanding of the Lord, but Mary was devoted to the Lord. Martha was working, but Mary was worshipping. Martha was given guidance of correction, but Mary was given a guarantee of consolation. Which will you choose? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this account of Martha and Mary, and I pray that you'd bless it to our hearts this evening. Thank you for the time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.